to your Bosco break. As you may know, we live in the age of computers, but few of us really know who invented them. Because most of the pioneers were part of collaborative teams working in wartime secrecy, they aren't as famous as Edison, Bell, or Morse. But one genius, the English mathematician Alan Turing, stands out as a heroic, tragic figure, and he's about to get his due in a new movie, The Imitation Game, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, which won the top award at the Toronto Film Festival earlier this month and will open in theaters in November. The title of the movie refers to a test that Turing thought would someday show that machines could think in ways indistinguishable from humans. His belief in the potential of artificial intelligence stands in contrast to the school of thought that argues that the combined talents of humans and computers working together as partners will always be more creative than computers working alone. Despite occasional breathless headlines, the quest for pure artificial intelligence has so far proven disappointing. But the alternative approach of connecting humans and machines more intimately continues to produce astonishing innovations. As the movie about him shows, Alan Turing's own deeply human personal life serves as a powerful counter to the idea that there is no fundamental distinction between the human mind and artificial intelligence. Turing displayed a trait that is common among innovators. In the words of his biographer Andrew Hodge, he was slow to learn the indistinct line that separated initiative from disobedience. He taught himself early on to keep secrets. At boarding school, he realized he was homosexual, and he became infatuated with a classmate who died of tuberculosis before they graduated. During World War II, he became a leader of the teams at Bletchley Park, England, that built machines to break the German military codes. Feeling the need to hide both his sexuality and code-breaking work, Turing often found himself playing an imitation game by pretending to be things he wasn't. He also wrestled with the issue of free will. Are our personal preferences and impulses all predetermined and programmed, like those of a machine? These questions came together in a paper, Computing Machinery and Intelligence, that Turing published in 1950. With a schoolboy's sense of fun, he invented a game, one that is still being played and debated. To give meaning to the question, can machines think? He proposed a purely empirical definition of artificial intelligence. If the output of a machine is indistinguishable from that of a human brain, then we have no meaningful reason to insist that the machine isn't thinking. On June 7, 1954, Turing committed suicide by biting into an apple he had laced with cyanide. He had always been fascinated by the scene in Snow White in which the wicked queen dips an apple into a poisonous brew. He was found in bed with froth around his mouth, cyanide in his system, and a half-eaten apple by his side. Now, was that something a machine would have done? That's all for your Bosco break. Back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Hollywood Soup. You are still listening to radio.dominican.edu. I am Dizzy D, and now I'm going to be moving on to my next segment, True or False. I'm going to be sharing some stories and facts. Some are true and some are false. So here is my first one. Did Friends star Matthew Perry chop off his middle finger while chopping up some vegetables? This is false, but Matthew Perry did shut a door on his middle finger on his right hand in nursery school, and his middle finger is about as long as his index finger. And I thought this was so funny because my dad, he has a nub for a finger too, because he, he was telling me, I thought he was chopping up vegetables, but apparently he got it caught in a tractor or something, but it's not as short as Matthew Perry's. My dad's is like a little bit less longer than it would be, but Matthew Perry's is like the size of his index finger, and I thought that was really funny. But anyways, on to my next fact. Does American singer-songwriter Kesha have an IQ of 140 and score 1500 on her SAT? This is true. About 95% of the human population scores somewhere between 70 and 130 on their IQ test, but Kesha shared that her score was 140, and she shares this score with Sir Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein. She also received a 1500 out of 1600 on her nearly perfect SATs, and she ended up dropping out of high school when she was 17 while being convinced by her music producers, but she got her GED. So I had no idea she was that smart. I thought she was had a bunch of glitter in her head, but apparently not. So moving on to the next fact. Was Jake Gyllenhaal's first driving lesson from Paul Newman? This is very true. Los Angeles native Jake Gyllenhaal was no stranger to the fame growing up. With a father as a director, a mother as a screenwriter, and his sister as an actress, no wonder this Brokeback Mountain star Jake Gyllenhaal chose a career in front of the camera. His godmother is Jamie Lee Curtis, and his grandfather is Paul Newman, and that is the one who gave him his first driving lesson around a racetrack. I thought that was pretty interesting. I didn't know his godparents were famous. But moving on to this one might stump you, but did Elvis Presley naturally have black hair? This is false. This three-time Grammy Award winner actually had blonde hair until he was about in his early teens. When Elvis got older, his hair naturally became darker, and by the time he went to the Army at 22 years old, he cut his hair and it was a dark chestnut color. Then he eventually dyed it back, he dyed it to black, and then he kept it black. So that is pretty interesting. I stumped quite a few people on that one while telling them about my show. But moving on, did Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen have to wear fake teeth during the filming of Full House? This is true. Since the Olsen twins were losing their teeth at different rates, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen had to wear fake teeth in their later years of filming the show to make sure that they had the same smile. So I hope you've all seen Full House, because it's one of my favorite shows. And if you know that, if you've seen the show, I'm sure you all have. But Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen played the same person. They played Michelle Tanner, and they would switch out because there was only one of her. But I also thought it was interesting that while filming Full House, they had a couple different things that were different. Mary-Kate acted out the funnier scenes while Ashley acted out the more serious scenes. So I thought that was really cool. So moving on, is Kobe Bryant fluent in French? This is false, but Kobe Bryant is fluent in Italian. This NBA athlete moved to Italy when he was 6 years old and lived there for 8 years because his father played professional basketball for a series of Italian teams. So I had no idea. He's athletic and he can speak more than one language, so that's pretty cool. And I hear he's trying to learn multiple languages as well, so that's pretty cool. So does Ken Jeong have a medical degree? This is true. The Hangover star, who also played a doctor in the 2007 film Knocked Up, had his nickname Dr. Chen, and this is where it comes from. Ken Jeong is actually a physician and got his medical degree from the University of North Carolina in 1995. In his spare time, he did stand-up comedy and eventually moved from Michigan to LA to pursue being a comedian. And I'm so glad he did, because The Hangover and Knocked Up are two of my favorite movies, and if you haven't seen them, go see them. But Knocked Up is pretty funny. It's always on TV. And I mean, The Hangover, I feel like everybody's seen it. So that's that. And moving on, this one is super, super funny. I just gave the answer away. Did Justin Timberlake start his career off as a beauty pageant king? This is true. Before Justin Timberlake started his singing career, he won numerous awards at these competitions, and he usually always ended up on top. But Justin Timberlake won some awards, titles I should say, such as 1991 Preteen Mr. America pageant, and at the age of 10 he won that at the age of 10, and the following year he was named the first male to win America's Universal Charm pageant. So that's pretty interesting. I mean, if Justin Timberlake can do it, so can you. All right, moving on. Is Matthew McConaughey terrified of revolving doors? This is true. Academy Award-winning actor Matthew McConaughey has stated, "I just don't like being near them." And when asked about his fear of revolving doors, but at least he has good looks going for him, because another fun fact is that he attended Longview High School in Longview, Texas, and there he was voted most handsome student. So that's pretty interesting. I didn't know there was a fear of revolving doors, but apparently there is. So moving on to another good-looking man. Did Brad Pitt once work as a mascot for Chick-fil-A? This is false, but Brad Pitt did work as a mascot for El Pollo Loco. He had many jobs before he made it big, but he dropped out of the University of Missouri majoring in journalism, and he then worked at El Pollo Loco to make some extra money after he dropped out of school to pursue his acting career in Hollywood. He worked for the El Pollo Loco on Sunset Boulevard, and he had to pass out flyers for the restaurant chain while wearing a chicken suit. So now you know. My dad just sent me a text message saying McConaughey sucks. So there's some wise words from my dad. And having said that, those are all my true or false stories I have for this week. After this short break, I will be moving on to my third segment, Tunes Talk. So I am going to leave you with the song Amnesia by 5 Seconds of Summer. Stay tuned here on Penguin Radio.
I drove by all the places we used to hang out getting wasted. I thought about our last kiss, how it felt, the way you tasted. And even though your friends tell me you're doing fine, are you somewhere feeling lonely even though he's right beside you? When he says those words that hurt you, do you read the ones I wrote you? Sometimes I start to wonder, was it just a lie? If what we had was real, how could you be fine? Cause I'm not fine at all. Remember the day you told me you were leaving. I remember the makeup running down your face. And the dreams you left behind, you didn't need them. Like every single wish we ever made. I wish that I could wake up. I wish that I could wake up with amnesia and forget about the stupid little things, like the way it felt to fall asleep next to you and the memories I never can escape. Cause I'm not fine at all. No, I'm really not fine at all. Tell me this is just a dream. Cause I'm really not fine at all.
All right, that was 5 Seconds of Summer's Amnesia. So welcome back to Hollywood Soup on radio.dominican.edu. This is Dizzy D, and now I'm going to jump into my third segment, Tunes Talk. So I was on my way to school sometime last week. I forget what day. But I was on my way to school and this song came on the radio and I thought it was really, really good and I never heard it before. So I completely thought it was One Direction and I Shazammed it to see what song it was. And if you don't know what Shazam is, it is an app that is on your phone that you can put next to the speaker of a song playing and it listens to it and it basically tells you what song it is. It's magic. But I Shazammed it and it is called Amnesia by 5 Seconds of Summer. So I've heard of the band 5 Seconds of Summer. They were, I think, nominated for some award for the MTV Video Music Awards, like new group, new artist coming out, artist, something like that. And so I've seen them. I haven't heard any of their songs, but I want to learn a little bit more about them. But I wanted, you know, to learn more about them, and they actually opened up for One Direction on their Take Me Home tour in 2013, so I thought that was a weird connection that they had because I thought it was them. But their band members consist of Luke Hemmings, who is the lead singer, and he also plays the guitar, Michael Clifford, who plays the guitar, Caleb Hood, who plays the bass, and Ashton Irwin, who plays the drums. And their musical influences include bands such as Blink-182, All Time Low, Boys Like Girls, and Green Day. And 5 Seconds of Summer is establishing themselves as a punk rock band with a little bit of punk elements in it. And they also state, 5 Seconds of Summer states, that they are not a boy band for the reasons being that they write their own songs, play their own music, and they don't dance. So they are all from Sydney, Australia, and became known by posting videos of cover songs of their favorite artists on YouTube starting in February of 2011. But Ashton Irwin joined them in December of that year. So before that, for a couple months, he wasn't in their band. But then they joined them in December. And in November of 2013, they signed their record deal with Capitol Records. And their debut album is named 5 Seconds of Summer. And it came out June 27th, 2014. And the song Amnesia was nominated for the Teen Choice Award for Best Breakup Song. So this song is obviously about a breakup and just the different memories that were shared during the relationship. And I feel like anyone who has ever been through a breakup can relate to this song. And that's what I found so great about it, besides the fact that it's just a great song, period. But I mean, just the melody alone is amazing and beautiful, but I really like the verse. Sometimes I start to wonder, Sometimes I start to wonder, was it just a lie? If what we had was real, how could you be fine? Because I feel like, at least to me, that when you go through what you went through, sometimes is just, your mind just wanders and you wonder what the other person is doing during the breakup period and how they're doing, just because at one point they were just such a big part in your life and you just have to think about them. I mean, even if you hate them or if you're the one who broke up with them, you just wonder. And then there's a part in the chorus where the title comes into play and the lyrics are, I wish that I could wake up with amnesia and forget about the stupid little things. And I think what they're referring to here is that it's easier to think about all the good and fun memories, since those are the things that makes you hold on to that certain person. But you obviously think about the bad things, you know, the breakup, how it felt, like heartache and stuff like that. And just going through that is hard enough for anybody. But so what I think they're referring to here is when you wake up with amnesia, you forget about everything and that's just easier to move on. But obviously going through that makes you the person you are today. So I just really think the lyrics are really beautiful if you actually listen to them. And obviously the song is just beautiful, period. But there is also a music video for the song Amnesia, which features all the band members. And the music video is really nicely filmed, I thought, and it just kind of reminds me of being young and having fun. Obviously, I'm young and I have fun, but it's just kind of a reminder and it shows how they have fun, I think. And there's just a bunch of different scenes in the music video, including all the boys in a garage, it looks like, playing the song, and them driving in a car with their friends, hitting golf balls on the top of the roof of the car, pushing and racing each other in shopping carts, and jumping into a pool and having a pool party. Those kinds of things, things like that, is what is featured in the music video. And there are close-ups of all of their individual faces as they sing with the lyrics or play with their instruments along with the song. And after I watched the music video, I found a couple of videos on YouTube with the whole band playing pranks. So I first saw a video of them. This is really funny. I saw a video of them dressed up as Target employees, and they were basically going up to customers in the store or helping people that needed help. And none of them really knew what was going on there or how to really guide them anywhere. They were just kind of lost. But they had, you know, their albums in their hands, and they were just giving them out to customers. And they were like, oh, here, take this. I really recommend it. And then at one point, a customer asked where the microwaves were. And one of the band members, I forget which one it was like, oh, the CDs are over there. And the customer was all, oh, so the microwaves are over there too? And he's like, yeah, I think so. It was pretty funny. But anyways, at the end of the video, at the end of the video, they were just dropping the CDs into everybody's shopping carts and baskets and stuff. It was just super funny. But then I saw another clip from Jimmy Kimmel Live, and it was the first time 5 Seconds of Summer was on an American talk show. And they did a prank with their fans, which was really funny. And basically, there was lines of girls down the streets. They camped overnight. There was just a ton of people. And they basically were pulling people in these lines, the producers, I guess, of Jimmy Kimmel Live, and told them, you know, to stand in this room in front of a TV with a webcam on it. And they pulled them in one by one. So these girls, well, a certain girl was alone in this room. It looked like a waiting room. And they faced the camera, and they basically listed all the things that they loved about the band. And they're just like, I love you so much. Like, you're such an inspiration to me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then as they were talking, one of the band members would come in and, you know, sit down in on the screen. You would see them, and they're like, oh, what's your name? How are you? Where are you from? Some stuff like that. And they said this to each girl. A different band member would come in for each girl. And each one was like, oh, we're trying to break the record for the most times we can kiss our fans within 24 hours. And so at this point, these girls are crying. And the guys told them to close their eyes, step up to the camera and kiss the screen, the TV screen that was in front of them. And so, you know, the girls would do it. They would close their eyes, you know, pucker up and kiss the TV screen. And right when they did that, the boys would step out of the frame, and either an old guy or a guy dressed up as Abraham Lincoln would come into the frame and look like they were kissing the camera too. And the girls would open up their eyes and laugh, and it was super funny and cute. But so they basically showed 4 or 5 girls doing this. And then at the very end, when they were laughing at this, you know, guy who's on their screen, the boys would walk into the room and meet them. And it was just a really cute little prank that they wanted to do. Just, you know, I think it just shows both of those videos just show the dynamic of the band and how they're funny and adore their fans and how grateful they are of the opportunities they've been given. But I honestly think that this is only the beginning for them, because they are such a talented group of guys. And if you haven't heard of them before, I hope you have learned a little bit about them and will continue to follow their journey, because I certainly am. I definitely think that they're my new favorite artist, and I'm really happy that I learned a little bit about them, because I really like them a lot. I think they're super talented. So that was my segment, Tunes Talk. And when we come back, I will go into my last segment, The Dirty Deets. So we'll be right back after this short break on radio.dominican.edu.
Welcome to another Bosco Break. From the outside looking in, life of a college athlete seems to compare to the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Seems that a normal day for a college athlete includes automatic A's from professors, trainer massages, and free everything. Although the free shirts that are required to sweat through 6 days a week are pretty great, a normal day inside the life of a student athlete during season looks a little more like this. You wake up to the sound of your blaring alarm at 5 a.m. to roll over and look outside, just to make sure the sun hasn't come up yet and you are not late. Head to the bathroom to complete your morning rituals, then return to the bedroom to get dressed for your morning workout. Before walking out, you gather your 3 bags: the drawstring workout bag that holds your shoes and equipment, the bag that has your change of clothes for the day, and finally, your backpack that includes your schoolwork and computer. As you walk out, you grab a protein bar and banana to hold you over for the next 6 hours of the day. Finally, you open the door to be greeted by the brisk January morning colds. It's 5:30 a.m. 15 minutes and a long chilly walk later, you arrive at the gym. In the locker room, you and your other teammates strip the sweats you are wearing and grab the binders coach has required you to carry around. After that, you make your way to the training room to do some preventive stretches and get your ankles taped. The clock strikes 5:45 a.m., and it's time to hit the court. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late, coach always says. Begin team stretches and loosen your muscles before you get driven into the ground now. Practice went over. 2 hours later, sweaty, exhausted, and late for class, you run to the locker room to change and head to your first class of the day. Sitting in your 8 a.m. class after a workout can make your eyes a little heavy. The decision between taking a quick snooze or listening to the material that your professor is spewing is becoming a struggle. Finally, after two dreadful lectures, you are free for an hour to grab some lunch. For most athletes, outside of dinner, lunch is the highlight of the day. After lunch, it's right back to the classes for some more lecture and occasionally a video relief. When classes are done at 3, coach requires study hall hours to make sure you are keeping up with your homework. Hour and a half of homework. Check. Since you are already back in the gym team room, might as well get some extra shots up while you're here, right? You got lost in the fun part. Losing yourself in game? Oh, and in time. It's 6:30 p.m. You hurry to the dining hall before it closes, stuffing as much pasta and chicken onto your plate that will fit. After almost swallowing your plate whole, you head back to your room to digest and relax before the second practice of the day. While laying on the bed checking Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter feeds, you debate on taking a 20-minute nap. Knowing you're going to wake up groggy, you avoid the stress of not being able to play to the best of your ability and decide to head out to practice early. Arriving at the gym, you're forced to wait for the other athletic teams to finish up with their gym time. As they clear out of the weight room, you look at the clock and realize it's 8 p.m. Go time. After pumping iron for an hour straight, it takes a toll on your body. Head back to the training room now and get some ice on those muscles. As you're waddling back to your room with ice strapped to your knees, you call a fellow classmate to meet you at home to study for that anatomy quiz tomorrow morning. After walking through your door at 9:30 p.m., you can't wait to get in a hot shower and rinse the long day off. You get out to find your classmate waiting for you and immediately start studying. 12 a.m., and you finally get to crawl into bed. Setting your alarm for 5 a.m., you pull up Netflix to watch Sons of Anarchy, but fall asleep before it ends, knowing it'll all happen again tomorrow. The glory of it? You wouldn't have it any other way. That's your Bosco break. Thanks for listening. Back to the show.
All right, you are still listening to Hollywood Soup on Penguin Radio. This is Dizzy D, and for my last segment today, it is the Dirty Deets. The Dirty Deets is your source of entertainment gossip from all over Hollywood. So let's get started. So last week on my show, I spoke about the show Big Brother, and like I said, the finale, it was on Wednesday. And the winner was crowned, and like I said, it was between Victoria, Derek, and Cody. Cody won 2 out of the 3 head of household competitions, sending Victoria home and picking Derek to sit with him in the final 2. So then it was up to the jury members to cast their votes and select a Big Brother winner. And I don't know if you haven't seen it, but I'm going to spoil it for you. Spoiler alert! The vote was 7-2, and Derek was named the Big Brother 16 winner. Derek won $500,000, and Cody received $50,000. But like I said last week, everybody knew it was going to happen this way. There was no doubt about it. There was no surprise or twist. We all knew that Derek was going to win. Obviously, I am really happy that he won, but it just wasn't a surprise to me. It was kind of predictable, but I thought it was weird. This is the weird thing. I'm so glad he won, but I thought it was really weird because Julie Chen is the host of Big Brother, and Julie Chen is also a host on the show The View, or not The View, The Talk. That's what I meant, The Talk. And after every finale, the winner always goes on The Talk the day after to, you know, talk to Julie Chen and the other host of The View. But it was weird to me. Not only Derek went, but so did Frankie. He was also there too. And it wasn't even like Derek came out and they talked to Derek and then Frankie came out. They both were there. They talked the same amount of time. It was just weird to me. I kind of thought it was a slap in the face of Derek because Frankie was there. I thought, I don't know. Even though I love Frankie too, but I don't know. Frankie only made it to the final 5. It's not like he made it to the final 2. I just thought it was just kind of weird. But I mean, I love both of them. I just thought it was kind of odd. But anyways, moving back to the finale, Donnie won, America's favorite player. And I did talk about Donnie last week, but he is a 42-year-old man who is also a groundskeeper from North Carolina. And he's just such a genuine, nice guy who is just super funny and just makes you want to laugh and smile and warms your heart. And he competed with all of these all these contestants who were in their 20s, and he won quite a few competitions. So he was America's player. He won $25,000, and I really think he deserved it. So it's going to be so sad. My mom was like, what are you going to do? Big Brother's not on. Because Big Brother's on 3 times a week, and it's not on anymore. So I guess that's more time to do homework, I guess. But anyways, moving on. I wanted to talk about another TV show that the season premiere was last night. The season 4 of Once Upon a Time was on last night. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Once Upon a Time, but it's my new favorite show. Like, okay, I have these crazes. I just go on Netflix binges, and I just watch one show until I'm done with it. And I'm in the middle of season 3 right now of Once Upon a Time, and season 4 just started. So I'm almost there. But Once Upon a Time is about a town, well, supposed town, and its name is Storybrooke. And basically all of the characters from fairy tales live in this town because they were cursed by the evil queen, and they have no idea who each other are or that they were these characters and they lived another life. But anyways, it's just such a good show. And I guess last night, I could be wrong, but last night was the premiere, and it features the characters from Frozen, and I love that movie. It's one of my favorite Disney movies ever, and I'm so glad that it's a movie because it's just one of those movies that I can watch over and over and over again. But I guess there was some controversy because Frozen literally just came out like 2 years ago, and it's already on Once Upon a Time, and the characters and the fairy tales that are featured in the show have been around for a long, long, long time, like Beauty and the Beast and Snow White and Prince Charming. So it's just, I don't know. I think it's cool that Frozen is on there, but I don't know. I think it's cool, but I don't know. Let me know if any of you have seen the show, and I will be sure to talk about it more. But in other news, let's get into the dirty deets. But on Saturday night around 8 p.m., Jennifer Lopez was involved in a car accident along with her 6-year-old twins and her friend Leah Remini. The crash was due to a suspected drunk driver, but the good news is nobody was harmed. The crash was on the Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu, where J-Lo was driving her SUV, and she was rear-ended by a man who was driving a small pickup truck. And okay, this is weird. So you know when an accident happens, how you get out of the car and exchange information? Well, when they got out of the car to exchange the information, the man got out of the car and he saw who he hit was, and then he got back into the car and sped up. What a beep. But thankfully, the police pulled him over and arrested the suspect for driving under the influence and being involved with a hit and run. So I'm glad they did justice on him, because that was a bad thing. And I love J-Lo. Anything to protect J-Lo, I'm okay with. But anyways, moving on to other news. Apparently, Jennifer Lawrence is dealing with another nude photo scandal. 55 more nude photos have been leaked onto the internet. And I hope you heard a few weeks ago, a ton of celebrities had their photos leaked onto iCloud, and authorities are still trying to solve what has been going on. So I just think that this, you know, could be just give awareness to everybody that if you take pictures on your iPhone, they will appear on your iCloud and people could hack or steal them and destroy your life. But So, I mean, not saying any of you do take bad pictures, but just think before you do, because it could end up in a consequence. Because I was, you know, listening, you know, on TV shows and talk shows and stuff that, you know, they probably won't solve this, because there's always going to be a hacker hacking into computers and taking your things and stealing and, you know, so just be careful. That's all I want to say. But in other news, some sad news. Okay, there were so many breakups this weekend, or this whole week. So many breakups. I can't believe it. But Jason Derulo and Jordan Sparks broke up this week after being together for 3 years. And Jason Derulo stated that infidelity, cheating, or deceit played no part in their relationship breakup. And I was sad to hear that they broke up, because I feel like, okay, so I used to watch American Idol religiously, but now I think it's kind of the same old thing every year. But when Jordan Sparks won American Idol, I loved her. And I feel like after she won, she, you know, had a couple hits. And then after, you know, like a year or two, she kind of just drifted off into nothing. But now when she was dating Jason Derulo, she got more famous and she did commercials and she was working on new music. She was featured in his music videos. And now I'm kind of sad because I really liked them together. But I don't know, I guess nothing. They're still cordial, and I mean, they don't text every day and say, hey, what's up? But like, they're cordial, and I mean, maybe one day they will get back together. I don't know. We don't know. But anyways, another couple ended things, which was the couple, Wiz Khalifa and Amber Rose. And Wiz Khalifa filed for divorce on Friday, and Amber Rose requested full custody of their son, Sebastian, who is almost 2 years old, but Wiz Khalifa is asking for joint custody. So I guess they've had problems in their relationship for a while, but they're accusing each other of cheating on Twitter and stuff like that. So obviously something big happened between them and probably will remain between them. But I mean, this breakup was nasty. Nastier than Jordan Sparks and Jason Derulo's. But I don't know if you heard about this story, but Sarah Hyland, who is an actress from the hit show Modern Family, broke up with her boyfriend and filed a restraining order against him. And his name is Matthew Prokop. And apparently he was very physically and verbally abusive to her over their 5-year relationship. And I guess Sarah Hyland had a kidney transplant or something. And she stated that he was very supportive during that whole time. But I mean, I couldn't even imagine going through a kidney transplant and dealing with a physically and verbally abusive boyfriend. I don't know if she was just kind of hiding it beneath the rug, or if that was true, or this just started happening. I have no idea. But I hope she stays safe and she just is okay. And then in another breakup news story, Kris and Bruce Jenner officially divorced after about a year of separation. I don't know if you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians like I do, but obviously I think they will always be friends, and I'm sure we'll see the two around each other because they're both super involved with their family, but they're just not in love anymore. And it'll be interesting to see the next season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and if we see this whole thing unfold or what, but that will be interesting. But in other Kardashian news, Kim Kardashian was attacked at a Paris fashion show this weekend and at Fashion Week. And I don't know if you have seen this video that was released, but it's quite disturbing. So you can see Kim and Kris Jenner getting out of the car and going into the fashion show. But you can't see in the video, Kanye West is on the other side of the car getting out, but he's there with her. But basically, there's this guy who is a Hollywood prankster, and he dove to her feet to grab her ankle. And in the video, you can see her security guards like lifting her up. And it's just crazy because all these paparazzi are around the car, and it's just crazy. I don't know how famous people deal with this stuff on a daily basis, but the Kardashians are no stranger to paparazzi. But I guess this guy, the Hollywood prankster guy, is banned from the United States and needs to serve 52 hours of psychological counseling after he assaulted Brad Pitt. And he can't attend these counseling sessions due to the fact that he can't go into the United States. So I guess the Paris police are doing something about this and they're looking into it. But on a brighter note, after all those sad news, on a brighter note, Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes welcomed a baby girl this week, and apparently they're extremely exhausted, but I'm sure they're so happy. So congratulations to them. And in other happy news, this actually might be heartbreaking to some women, but George Clooney got married this weekend to Amal Amouden. I can't say her name, I'm sorry. In Venice, Italy. And so some guests who attended this wedding were Anna Wintour, Matt Damon, and Bono. I'm sorry, I've cracked myself up. So basically this weekend, all eyes were pointing to this couple, and today they made things legal at their legal ceremony where they signed their papers at a town hall in Italy, and now their marriage is validated. So congrats to them. I mean, we gotta be happy for George. If we can't have him, at least he's happy, right? Right. All right. And lastly, but certainly not the least, on Saturday afternoon, a private memorial was held for Robin Williams at the Curran Theater. Many guests traveled to the Bay Area to pay their respects, and the beginning of August, his ashes were scattered all over the San Francisco Bay Area. People such as Danny DeVito and Ben Stiller attended the memorial with speakers including Whoopi Goldberg and a performance by Stevie Wonder. So I think we can all say that his legacy will definitely live on forever, and I hope that, you know, his family is okay, and I think we can all mourn and, you know, be sad about this, but I mean, he did great things in his life, and I am so happy to have seen his movies. But that was the end of The Dirty Deets, and I hope you all enjoyed this week's show. Tune in next Monday at 3 to hear who will be going deep in the boiling water next week on Hollywood Soup with Dizzy D on Penguin Radio. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at DizzyD_DU for updates throughout the week. And I hope you all have a good rest of your week. I hope you got your coffee during National Coffee Day. I know it's a little later, but I mean, I have to still do homework when I go home, so I might stop at Pete's if they're still open to grab a coffee, or Dunkin'. I don't know where the Dunkin' Donuts is around here, but I don't know, maybe Pete's I can get too. So all right guys, I will talk to you later, and see you next, or I won't see you, I'll talk to you next week. Bye.